What do you feel like you're capable of doing this week? What do you believe that you can do this week?
If everything comes together, I think I can get one more.
Well, that would be truly remarkable. That's the voice of a journo I don't know the name of, but the answer at the very end belonged to Tiger Woods.
Tiger Woods.
He's never, ever had any doubt about when he's fit and well, his own ability to not only contend but to win.
Well, the record speaks for itself, doesn't it? That's why he'd have such a high level of confidence in his own abilities. But now he's got a fused ankle, a crook back, knees to the shizen. It's going to be hard, and he's openly admitted that his body is at a point right now where he can only play a few tournaments every year.
Moving looks like it hurts him.
It does. Did you see him on the putting green? Oh. You know the overnight stuff when you're going to
live at the Masters.
Yeah,
it's great.
Good stuff. If you're probably not in your golf, it's probably not going to rock your boat. But if you love your golf, it's very entertaining. But to see him hobbling around the putting green.
Mate.
Going down and picking up the ball looks like a real assignment.
And unless you've been there, you don't get a sense for how undulating the place is. Nick O'Hearn's been there 4 times. He teed it up. I don't know how many times he's been there in a commentary role, but he's been good enough to join us thanks to Mate Internet and Mobile. $20 off for 5 months with Mate Internet. Hey, Nick, thanks for joining us, mate. The two of us always love talking about golf, and when we get to talk golf with somebody like you, it's even better. Thanks for joining us on the show.
You're welcome, guys, and it definitely rocks my boat this week, trust me.
Everybody, yes. I think we're all in the same boat when it comes to that. I mean, what are your expectations of Tiger Woods going into this event?
Oh, I think for him, you know, as you mentioned, he did look pretty ginger, and I think the last 3 days he's played 9 holes, done a bit of practice. For him, I think if he makes the cut, it'll be an incredible effort, given he hasn't really played at all this year. I think he played once at Riviera, but he ended up withdrawing due to illness. So, but the thing about him, you just never count him out, and you never know what's going to happen. And he loves Augusta for obvious reasons, but to come into this event, it's just so difficult for him, given his physical condition, because it's basically the hardest walk of the worst undulations you've got to deal with. So if he attends, it'll be a miracle.
Can you talk to that? Can you talk to the undulation? 2D TV, even with, you know, the modern screens and modern coverage that are so much better than they were from 10, 15, 20 years ago, you still, I don't reckon, quite get a sense for how up and down Augusta is. Can you tell people what it's actually like?
It's hard to explain, but just imagine wherever you play your golf course, pick the most steep slope that you can find on the golf course, and that's quite a few of the shots. So you're going to have to hit off at Augusta, and then the walks are pretty brutal as well. I mean, the one up 8's really steep, the par 5, and the final walk up 18, I mean, that's probably one of the steepest on the golf course as well. But there's so many shots there where you just get side slopes, down slopes, up slopes, and, you know, it's very rare you get a flat lie on that golf course. And given the way his left leg is, for him to put the pressure on that leg that he's going to have to with off all those varying slopes, it'll be very difficult come week's end, and I'm sure he'll be getting plenty of physio in between rounds.
Well, from an Australian's perspective, a lot's been spoken about in Minwoo Lee in his capacity to win the tournament, but I read today that he had a workout and he's broken a bone in his finger. Now, I'd imagine you could sort of
not ideal.
Get your way through it, but from a golfing perspective, how much of a handicap would that be?
Well, do you really need your fingers with the golf swing? I'm not sure.
Yes. Yeah, right.
You very much need all your fingers working very well. Funnily enough, I cut my ring finger on my right hand, and I believe he's broken his ring finger on his left hand. Being a left-handed golfer, well, it's basically the same hand that he's going to have to use. And with a deep gash that I might had on my finger, I could hardly even hold the club. So with a broken finger, I mean, that's just going to be something else. And I'm sure he's going to be taking plenty of painkillers and everything. From what I read, his coach, Richie Smith, said he hasn't really hit any balls in the last week or so. So not ideal preparation. But, you know, with Minwoo, anything's possible. If he can find some sort of form and really get the crowd behind him, which he loves, he'll tell them all he's going to cook all week. So we'll see what happens.
Particularly the way he swings his clubs, Nick. I mean, his club head speed's ridiculous. The power that he generates is you know, off the charts. There's no guide in the ball, or he's not Freddie. He's not going to nudge it around here and he's an overpower golf course type player with all the shot making mixed in as well. I can't imagine what it's going to be like for him to try and play the way he plays with a busted finger on one of his hands.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy. I mean, the guy that probably did the best around there with a real issue was Tony Finau a few years ago. I don't remember him rolling his ankle in the par three comp, and he ended up maybe top fiving or top ten. It was ridiculous how well he did there. But I don't know how he's going to do it either. I mean, it really just depends on how badly the break is, how much pain medication he can take, and what he can put up with, really. But yeah, that's his, you know, his biggest strength is his power, from tee to green. So if he hasn't got that, well, he'll just have to sort of manufacture some other stuff, I guess, to figure it out.
And Jason Day, over the last 6 to 12 months, seemed like he's getting back on track. One of the elite golfers in the world. He's been paired with Tiger Woods for the first couple of rounds. Is that a handicap, or could that be a bonus?
Oh, I think you could view it both ways, really. I mean, playing with arguably one of the greatest golfers of all time, it's always good to watch and play with Tiger, because then you can see what he does on the golf course and how he manages his way around. You might even learn a thing or two as he's going, but I'm sure Jason will be focusing on his own game, and they're good friends. So I think it'll actually be a nice pairing for him. It's just more the distractions of how many people and media are going to be around him through the golf course. But yeah, Jason's changed his swing, obviously, over the last year or two. Dialed it down a little bit, and you never count him out. He's almost won this tournament, so it'd be great to see him don the green jacket at the week's end.
Nick, the last couple of years, there's a couple of missed cuts and a second in there for Rory McIlroy, but his record without winning here is ridiculous. And I think most people think that he's got a game that should have seen him, given the talent he's got win around here. Can this notion of trying too hard, that wanting something too badly, how counterproductive can that be, or is it? Can it be counterproductive in a sport like yours?
In golf, it's just so hard, because I tell people, you know, golf is perhaps the most mental game there is, and the reason being is because the ball is stationary. Every other sport, the ball moves. So in golf, the ball just sits there and says, "Hit me." So there's so much time to think about things between shots, especially, and also while you're over the ball. Every other sport, you tend to react a bit more. And I think for Rory, one of the things I've noticed over the last few years is he does spend quite a bit of time over the ball and a lot of looks at the target. I think if he played a bit more reactionary, like spent less time over the ball, I think that would free him up a little bit. But, you know, that's just one opinion amongst many, obviously. I mean, he's got so much pressure, and I think he it's self-imposed, a lot of him. He freely admits that this is the one tournament he wants to win. And it seems every year that goes past, the pressure just keeps building on him. So I'd love to see him get it done, but yeah. I just can't see him doing it this year. And for me, I mean, Scottie Scheffler is by far away the favourite.
The event is extraordinary, and I was reading an article about some of the restrictions that are in place for the broadcasters and the fans, and to a point where I just wanted to check, is it actually true and enforced? Because apparently you're not allowed any electronic devices. You can't take your cameras out. You can't have your phone there, and just like we see all over the place, that there are certain things you're not allowed. You're not allowed to shout out "You the man." You're not allowed to shout out "To Infinity Beyond." These are apparently, along with many others, by the way, too many to read out right now. Is that in fact just part of the way it is, but in reality you still hear that, or are those types of things enforced? Because apparently there's a 6-year ban that you can cop. If you demand, ta-da, for 6 years, you can't come back.
Yeah, all those things are very true, and it's fascinating for the players and what they say, because no one's allowed a cell phone out there. So there's no cameras, no phones, no one's, you know, looking at screens. And what they're actually saying is, the funny thing with the galleries, or the patrons as they call them, you can't call them spectators, is that they're all very present. They're all actually looking up and watching the golf, whereas you go to any other tournament, everyone's staring at their phone or taking videos and trying to put it on social media. So I think in a way, it's back to the old school ways, and it's fantastic, I think, as well. But you don't want to put a misstep there. If you run on the golf course, you are asked to politely walk, and if you continue running, well, they kick you out. And I didn't know about the 6-year ban. I know a lot of other things where if you're taking a bottle of Coke or something, well, you can't do that. You can't have any logoed apparel or anything like that sort of thing. So you've got to be you know, abide by the rules, but at the end of the day, if you want to watch the Masters, it's not too much to give up, I would imagine.
No, and you know the funny thing about it, Nick, it's sort of, you do it willingly. As a patron, or if you're lucky enough to go there to cover the event, you kind of, I don't know what it is. It's not heavy-handed. It's not over the top. I mean, you know what it's like to go and play there. You kind of do it in whatever guise you're going there in, happily, cheerily, and merrily.
Yeah, it's exactly, and everyone knows the deal going into it, that if you put a misstep, well, you may or may not get invited. It is an invitational, so they don't have to invite you. There are certain rules that you have to follow. And, I mean, there was one famous story, you talk about the broadcasters, Gary McCord, who was a very funny broadcaster. I think he said, don't hit it over the back of 17 because they're body bags back there, basically meaning that you're dead. And next year he was not on the broadcast because the men at the Masters didn't like that. So it's a fascinating place.
What's it like? We're talking to Nick O'Hearn. It starts, of course, Friday morning or Thursday night our time. We can't wait. Four times you teed it up there. Tied 8th the first time you were there. Oh, no, sorry, tied 45 the first time. Tied 19 second time. And then the next 2 years were a bit tougher. But that year you came, finished top 20, you were tied 8th at the end of the first round and tied 10th at the halfway mark. So you're well and truly in contention. What's it like to be that deep in the mix at that event?
Oh, it's pretty special. That's for certain. And to see your name go up on that leaderboard next to the 18th green, that was a really cool moment for me. I remember seeing O'Hearn up there, and I thought I was dreaming at one point. But I think the most special thing is playing towards the back end on a Sunday, is those roars and the Sunday vibes that you see on the TV and the back nine on Sunday. It's something really cool, and I'll remember it forever. The downside was actually that year they used to have top 16 got into the following event, so I missed that by one stroke, and I thought, oh no, maybe I'll never get invited back. But as it turned out, I was still top 50 in the world the next year, so I managed to get back, so I wasn't kicking myself too much.
Can you remember how you slept going into the third round?
Oh, I was nervous as all heck, obviously. I mean, we dream for these moments, and playing in the majors, it's just at another level. And then you've got Augusta, the Masters as well. I mean, the only other event that compares to me is the Open at St Andrews. It's my favourite week of the year, the Masters, and it's even now I'll be up every morning watching everything and watching those live at the Masters and on the range. I just can't get enough of it. It's so good.
And will it take you back? Like, I don't know what happened in that third round. I don't know whether you can remember you know, clear moments within that third round when things just weren't going your way. But will, as you're watching, you know, players play a shot from a hang and lie on 5, or, you know, in the sort of poo down the left on 10, or, you know, driving on 11, you know, those kind of clutch shots that we see get played around this course every single year, and there are so many of them. Will it kind of sort of take you back to those moments for you?
Oh, it does, yeah. I just love playing that Amen corner, 11, 12, 13. 12 was my favourite hole on the golf course,
yeah, right,
the par 3. But the reason being is because it's a left-handed hole. I mean, it favours us because if I pull it, I'm long right, and if I push it, I'm short left, so I'm still on the green. And I love 13, the par 5, and even 15. I remember hitting it up on the top of the hill on the par 5 one year, and my caddy knew that if we had 3 wood in there, I couldn't go for it. But I think it might have even been the first year I played. And if I had 5 wood or less, then we were going for it. But the adage said I had 3 wood, and Wilbur, my caddy, said, OK, we're going to lay it up to over here. And I said, Wilbur, give me the 3 wood. I'm going for this. He said, what do you mean? I said, no. I've been watching this tournament for 30 years. I can't lay it up. I've got to have
a crack.
I went straight over the back of the green, and just luckily I made a par. So he said, have you got that out of your system? I said, yeah, I'll never do that again.
That's fantastic.
Hey, the LIV golfers, those that are on the LIV Tour, seem to have done quite well last year in a lot of the majors, and probably it's a relatively small sample size, but the type of golf that they're playing, is it any relevance at all in relation to their prospects at the Masters?
Well, I think last year Brooks Koepka certainly didn't prove that it wasn't any relevance, although he's a different beast anyway. I mean, he just lives for the majors. It'll be interesting to see how John Rahm plays coming into this, because he's obviously the big fish that left a while ago for all that money, and how much competitive reps he's got coming in. He's a little light on. So I think, you know, from what I can tell from all reports and the whispers, it's all very amicable amongst the players. They're all chatting and getting on well. But I'm sure there's still a bit of rivalry there between the two tours. And the Liv guys especially, I think they see themselves having a bit of a chip on their shoulder and wanting to prove something. So it'll be interesting. I mean, 72 holes versus 54, they're not really playing under the same sort of intense scenarios as the PGA Tour. So time will tell as to how those guys go. But as I said, Brooks last year, I mean, he almost won the thing. And Rahm, defending champion, he'll be chomping at the bit as well.
No doubt about that. Seven Australians turning up. Nick, we'll let you go. You know, but just last one from me. How will young Jasper Stubbs be feeling? Wins the Asian Amateur in spectacular fashion at Royal Melbourne and gets his ticket in. How will he be feeling, you know, standing on the range, looking down the line in that unbelievable setting? I mean, the facilities they've got, Keith, you've got to see them. They are just crazy how good the practice facilities are for these guys. How will he be feeling, do you think?
Oh, he'll be ridiculously nervous. But I think the more he embraces it and gets involved and starts chatting with the guys, I think the better. And I saw he played a practice round with Hideki Matsuyama, which is fantastic, getting some experience from him. I spoke to his caddy, actually, Simon Clark, the other day, who's working for him. He's caddy for a variety of players. And he says he's in good form and he's just sort of smiling and loving it wherever he's going. So as long as he keeps that sort of joyful attitude and not let the occasion overawe him, I think he'll, you know, if he makes the cut, it'll be a fantastic effort for him. But embrace it all. He's still an amateur and you never know if he gets it going. Hopefully we can see him high up on the leaderboard on the weekend.
But, all right, Nick.
Just enjoy the experience.
Yeah,
Nick, before we let you go, give us your top three, please.
Top three for me. Yeah. I'm going to go John Rahm, Sahith Theegala as a bit of a dark horse. Scotty Scheffler, he's going to win it.
You're going to win it. Marco doesn't. Our great mate Marco reckons he can't possibly win it.
Doesn't reckon Scotty can
heard the
win
pod.
It.
I'll have a listen to the pod. I've got around to it yet. Why does he think Scheffler can't win?
He says it's to do with his putting, but the thing with Scheffler is if he just putts half decent, he's going to be in the final two groups on Sunday anyway. And if he putts well, he'll probably win by four or five.
Yeah.
You know, he's been putting pretty well late this season, and his ball striking is just so good. It's a joke, and that's what you need around that golf course.
Well, Mick in Wattle Glen has texted in. He said, Scotty Scheffler can't draw the ball. This will be hard on you know, let us say the back nine, the second nine. Is that true?
I can tell you, Scotty Scheffler knows how to work it both ways.
Right.
That's not an issue at all. Okay. And on this golf course, you do need to work it both ways.
Yeah, right. There you go. Hey, Nick, thanks. We could chew your ear off about this event for the rest of the show, but we've got to let you go. We've got a bunch of stuff we've got to get to. Thanks for being part of it today. And for those of us who believe and gather, the next 4 or 5 days are going to be the annual thing of beauty. Thanks for joining us, mate.
No worries, guys. Have a good one.
Nick O'Hearn joining us, who was there 4 times, lucky enough to play it, tied 45, tied 19, missed cut. But just to be there, what a joy.
Did you get to play it when you were
I didn't. I didn't get in the ballot 1 year, and I had to fly out the next year. So it's unbelievable. It's nothing can prepare you when you walk in the gates of the joint, because around the place it's not that flash.
No,
outside
Lennard
the joint
near it,
it's not flash.
Lennard's from Atlanta, and he said it is pox around
it. It is.
It's just transformed when you go through it. And he's never actually been through it, but the pictures he said is nothing like what you see around the joint.
Nothing at all. Mm. And then you get in there, and it is jaw dropping.
Right.
And people are happy to just be, excuse me, sir.
Right.
Would you mind not running? Would you mind not shouting?
Everything's branded apparently with
Masters.
And even the food.
Cheap as chips, mate.
The food
it's delicious.
Is outrageously cheap.
Yeah, and it's delicious. And even going to the dunny, you go to the
egg salad at $1.50.
Yeah, when you go to the toilet, mate, the lines are miles on. You go, I don't want to miss any golf here. And they say, don't worry, mate, you'll be in and out in no time. They get you through. They've got ushers in the toilet getting you in and out of the toilet blocks. And the whole thing's phenomenal. You can't believe.
Classic chicken sandwich, $3.
We're going to get to a break.
Apparently, this is unbelievable.
We're going to get a 6-year ban. If you've ever been to the market, get on the line, 1-300-736-736. Try and explain it to Gazy how unbelievable it is. We're here for Berwick BMW and Brandt, your John Deere dealer.